Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that you are kind to us, you are gracious to us, and you are immensely patient with us. Oh Lord, we come to learn as we walk with you that we are far from what we should be, yet despite that, you are willing to use us and work through us and to glorify your name. And this morning I pray, Lord, that as we do this very practical class, that you would use it and give us clarity in our own minds and give us courage to be able to share with other people, our friends, perhaps our co-workers, as you open the way. And we come and commit our time to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So again, today I'm going to cover how to share the gospel, or another way to put it is just how to share your faith with others. You're going to tell everybody. That's the way I understand it. If you love God, you're going to want to tell people about them. Don't tell me, you know, now, but like if you have a girlfriend or you have a boyfriend, man, you're telling everybody about them. I mean, no problem, right? And if someone asks me, you know, hey, so tell me about your life. Well, I'm married, I'm not going to not mention my wife, my kids. I love them. And so I talk about them freely. So there needs to be a freedom in your heart that comes from understanding that God loves you. And because he first loves us, we can respond in like manner and we can love God. And if you love somebody, I'm not saying you will always be super duper confident or you won't struggle at times. That's where it flows. It flows from the heart, all right? So again, just sharing your faith. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration from, which helped me a lot. So years ago, when I was much younger, I came to know the Lord when I was 23 years old. So that's older than any of you that are attending the camp. I get that. But I came to know the Lord at 23. 3 years later, I joined a mission organization, as I mentioned, called OM. And I didn't quite understand that, but I wanted to be trained. I wanted to learn. I wanted to live the practical Christian life. I wanted to be real. If God is real, I wanted my life to count. I wanted to live for God. I joined this mission organization, and it was really geared towards young people. If you're interested in missions, OM is a great mission organization to join. They take you as you are, and they just throw you in the deep end. You know, when you learn to swim, they don't put you in the shell. They just throw you in, and you have to learn to trust the Lord. So here we go. We're in South Africa. That's where I joined. We're in the city of Pretoria, not that that's important. Second or third day of our training team. We're 6 months training. And they said, this afternoon, we're going to go to a university campus. It was Mamelodi University, which isn't a Christian university. And we're going to send you out two by two, and we want you to share the gospel. Okay. And then tomorrow, we'll talk about how to actually share the gospel. But you're off you go today. We're going to give you 3 hours. They dropped us off. And remember, clearly, me and this guy went off. And we had 3 hours. I think it was like 2 to 5. They picked us back up, and then we had dinner. And then at 7, we had a meeting to tell everyone the names of the people we shared with, how we can pray for them. So you kind of, you know, they kind of got you trapped. Like, you have to do something. You can't say, you know, well, for 3 hours, I just didn't sense the Lord wanting me to speak to anyone. And yeah, I just wasn't sure. I didn't have peace. I mean, 3 hours is a long time, right? So anyway, me and my friend or my, you know, the guy that I was with, we walked around for 2 hours justifying not saying anything to anybody. And, look at they're leaving. And then, oh, there's someone there. But they're just a girl. We're two guys. Probably not a good idea. Let's go around the other side of the university. So we took a long walk. You know, wow, this is. But then we said, we've got to say something at that 7 o'clock meeting. They're going to come to us. I know they are. So, hey, Colin, who did you share with? Oh, well, nobody. Just because I didn't think that, you know, I didn't sense the Lord leading. What a wimp, you know. I knew that wasn't, I was just scared. And I really didn't know what to say, to be honest. But anyway, eventually, by about 4 o'clock, we came across a place where people were eating outside, and there was this guy and girl sitting there, and we just went and sat down with them and said, "Hey, you know, I'm so and so, and we're out here. They've asked us, kind of blamed OM. They asked us to come and share about God. Would you mind if we talk to you?" And they're like, "Yeah, it's fine." They were just eating. That's fine. So then we started to fumble around, and you know, God is really good, and you know, He loves us, and I know God. What do you think about God? And we fumbled through it. We got their names. So we didn't look too bad at the 7 o'clock meeting. Got their names, what they were studying, so on. But anyway, we didn't really kind of know where we were going with trying to share our faith with them. We bounced around all over the place. You know, you got to trust God. You know, Jesus died for you. Do you know you're a sinner? Anyway, so the next morning, we came together and they said, "Okay, now we're going to teach you how to present the gospel." Boy, did we listen. Because they said, "This afternoon we're going back to Mamelodi University and you're going to share the gospel for 3 hours." And we did that for 2 weeks. I mean, talk about being thrown in the deep end. So here we go. How to share the gospel. This is an abridged version. You know what abridged means? What does it mean, Joe? Short, thank you. Okay. So there's much more to it in one sense, but, you know, this will help you. It super duper helped me to be able to share, but it also helped me think through my own walk with God. So that's what we're talking about this morning. All right, I'm going to make it fairly simple. There are four basic points that we want to cover. The first one in your mind, let me do this, is God. We want to talk about God. I don't really like to use the word God. It just seems so, you know, harsh. But anyway, so I'm going to put these here. I don't know why I brought them, but I did. I like sports, so I just brought them anyway. I'll put this one over here. All right, so we're here right now. This is point one. I was going to have some people come up here, but I didn't think that having some counselors up here would be great. This is God. This is sinner. This is Jesus. I just didn't think it would work well, so I'm just using these balls. This is where we are. Okay, this is bocce ball, in case you're wondering. I wonder what those are. Anyway, so there we are. We're going to speak about God. Then we're going to speak about man. And then we're going to speak about Jesus Christ. And then we're going to move to, if the Lord leads us, if the Lord is opening up their heart, to talk much more about a response. What does that mean to you? This is good knowledge. This is truth. This is the good news. This is the gospel. But knowing something is nice, but there needs to be a response one way or another. Okay? Now, this is where I want to encourage you not to be overwhelmed. You don't have to get through all of this. And you actually don't have to start with number one. You can start with number three. But you know in your mind, I've got to make sure I cover these things. The Word of God starts with God. The gospel starts with God. It started in His heart. We understand Genesis 1:1 and so on. I'll give you some verses. We may not have time to read everything, but think to yourself. Just kind of think, okay, I'm going to share my faith. I'm going to speak about the Lord. I'm going to speak about God, who He is. And then I'm going to speak about man, sinful, separated. But God doesn't leave us in that state. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Wow. And use the words Jesus Christ. I mean, you want to be specific. Now, someone might say, "I don't believe in that." And that's fine. That's fine. And if they, and I don't want to hear anymore. That's fine. Just stop. But you say, "Well, I don't believe in God." That's fine. But can I just share what I believe? And you're going to trust the Holy Spirit to turn their heart, to give them, because you're going to get them to read the Bible, hopefully. If they don't want to read the Bible, then you don't press it. But if they're willing to read some of the verses, you're trusting, you're praying as you do this. And you may only get through the first point. They say, "I got to go." Okay, fine. At least you shared something and you were on a journey to share your faith with them. All right, so think about that. So God, man, Jesus Christ, response. These are basic. This isn't a bridge. This is a simple way for you to think through. And I want you to think through in your own salvation, your own walk with God today, okay? All right, so let's think about the first thing. What we want to try to communicate with whoever we're sharing our faith with is this point. And this is a good place to start. God is holy and he's loving. And he created you to know him personally. I mean, somehow I put the blue there. Blue is my favorite color. It's hard to tell that, I know. But blue is my favorite color. And that's the important point here in the sense, the statement. God is holy. Somehow you can put that in. You don't have to say it exactly like that. But you can say, you know, what do you think about God? Who do you think God is? And they may say something to you and say, oh, that's interesting. But let me say this too practically. You know, you don't want to stand, if I'm sharing with Joe here, I don't want to stand above him and tell him, hey, so who do you think God is? Like, I'm like, like, you know, I'm the righteous man. So I sit down next to him and I don't make a big forceful. I'm with him. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Okay. I want to try to be his friend, you know, not like we're big buddies, but I'm just drawing alongside him. Someone drew alongside me. And just tell them about the Lord. You know, did you know that the Bible says God is holy and that he is a loving God? Yeah, but what about all the bad things in the world and people dying? That's true. I can't explain, you know, and you don't have to get too sidetracked, you know, say, yeah, we can talk about that later, but can I just share a little bit about what the Bible says regarding who God is? So this is not out of your own hand. Your authority is the word of God. I don't believe in the Bible. That's fine. It's got tons of errors. Fine. I mean, maybe we can talk about that later too, but can I just tell you what the Bible says? Oh, okay. So, but you're not attacking them and you're not being too forceful. I don't want to hear anymore. Okay. Hey, thanks for chatting for a little bit. You know, do you mind if can I pray for you? Oh, okay. And, you know, maybe you pray for them. Or they say, no, I don't want you to pray for me. Okay, fine. And I mean, we all experience this. That's good. Hey, have a great day. See ya. Bye. And then, okay. Lord, lead me to the next person. It's not your job to convert people. Okay? You can't save anyone. Spirit of God, it's not a success-failure thing. All you're trying to do is share your faith. Share the gospel. Okay? You're the messenger. We heard yesterday. You're the ambassador. If someone doesn't want to know, someone doesn't believe, you know, of course you want them to, and you're praying, but the Spirit of God has got to do that work in them, all right? And so you're sensing, what's God doing? You want to join God in what he's doing all the time. I'm not going to read through all these verses necessarily because I know I'm just going to run out of time. So just jot them down. God's character, Genesis 1:1. You want to start with, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. He's the creator. I don't believe in creation. Oh, that's fine. It's just what the word of God says. I do, though. I really believe. It's hard for me to believe this is all by chance. It's just hard. Now, I didn't come from a Christian home, and that was a big deal to me. I just didn't believe that we were created by coincidence. I just couldn't believe it. I didn't know about God. I didn't know about creation. But I just couldn't believe that. And this is at 7, 8 years of age, because I remember still living in England thinking, who made me? Why am I here? What's the purpose of my existence? Like, what am I supposed to do? I had those kind of questions. Now, if you're from a Christian home, I've since found out many of you don't have those questions because you grow up with an understanding from your parents, perhaps, you know, purpose and creation. I didn't have that. So that was a big deal to me. But, you know, again, Lord will use you with your own testimony, and we'll talk more about it. But God does love. We know a key verse, John 3:16. And at this point, perhaps, you know, and it's a very unthreatening verse, perhaps, you know, we'll say, hey, let's turn to John. Okay, they don't know. You don't tell them. Hey, turn to John 3:16. So, Joe, I'm going to use you the whole time. So here he is. I say, here's my Bible. Can you, I'm going to get him there, so I'm going to turn in my Bible, not overwhelming him, and I'm going to say, hey, can you read for me out loud John 3:16? So, okay, go ahead. Okay. So there's a lot in there, which then I might say, hey, thanks for reading. Does that, what do you think that means? So now I'm praying, because he just read the word of God, and I'm praying, oh Lord, work in him. Because I can't make him interested, or work in him, Lord. He just read your word. So what is that? We don't have time now, but what does that mean to you? And you might say this and that, and it's completely wrong. I said, oh, that's interesting. He's basically saying that God loves you. He has a committed love toward you, and he sent his son. I'm not going to go too much into it. I'm still talking about God, okay? So I just want him to know that. And I'm not, if he's kind of a little confused, I may not move on to John 17:3, which speaks about the plan of God, that we might know him. Eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. But if he is open, I may push him in that direction to prepare him, okay? So I'm just talking about God. And if I can get across that he's holy and loving, wonderful, okay? So I'm just putting, I don't believe in God. That's fine. But can I just tell you about who I believe in? I didn't used to believe in God either. But man, once I started to read the word of God, I started to think, wow, this is incredible. Okay. Your own testimony, which we're talking about tomorrow, how to give your testimony, is crucial in you basically. Friendship evangelism is what we're talking about here at the moment. Point two. Man, you get to the, so you cover the issue, and I don't, abridged, short. I may spend more time on that point, but I want to try to get through it. But I don't want to bog them down either, because this may be one link in the chain. I know when, leading up to when I got saved at 23, probably 5-6 people had shared the gospel with me at some point, all right? But eventually, I came to know the Lord. So nothing's wasted. God is working. He's a good shepherd. So we're moving to number two, all right? Man is sinful and separated. You want to get that in there. And this is the bad news. It is bad news. We'll get to the good news. But if you don't realize you're separated from God, you have no reason to need a savior, someone to save you. Save you from what? Okay, so now we get to certain things, and there's definitions, and we don't have to get too bogged down with this, but we want to get this point across in blue. Man is sinful. Did you know that man is sinful, and he's separated from God? So that creates a big problem. He cannot know God personally, or even experience his love. You can't know God, because your sin is in the way. It's separating you from God. Huh, what does that mean? Huh? And you look at their face, and they look like you can tell they don't know what you're talking about. But don't worry. Well, maybe they do. I mean, again, you want to be real personal, and you don't want to be overwhelming. Like, you knucklehead, don't you understand what I'm saying to you? You know, but yeah, okay. Well, and you're trusting the Lord to bring this together, and maybe it's just one link in the chain. Remember, your job is not to convert. Your job is to share the gospel. So again, I'm not going to go through everything here, but these verses, and again, we don't have really time, but perhaps I might ask someone, hey, can you read this verse for me? And so then I'm going back, and I'm showing Joe here, Isaiah 53 and verse 6. I say, hey, would you mind reading another verse? Now, if he couldn't read very well in the first place, I'm not going to ask him again. I mean, it's just embarrassing, but he seemed to be pretty good. So I'm going to, hey, can you read Isaiah 53, verse 6? Okay. Again, there's a lot in this Old Testament verse, so that's good. And what you're doing is you're showing him that the Bible is relevant for today. It's real in your life. And now, I may not go through the whole thing. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We can get stuck on the word sheep, but I'm not a sheep. I'm not a goat. I'm not a donkey. So what? But anyway, we understand it's a picture, but it talks a little bit about, again, the fact that we're separated or that we're sinful. We've all gone astray from God. We don't have to go into more of it. Getting to Romans is good. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23 are key verses just to share the gospel with. I'm not going to have us read them now, but Romans 3:23 basically stresses the fact that man is sinful. Romans 6:23, man is separated. There's this gap. There's this bad news. Here's a graphic that maybe helps. Here's man. Now, I wouldn't show this to them because it's like, man, you're really hammering me, man. I'm not going to, but this is for you. So here's our efforts to get to God. He's a holy God, and our efforts to try to get to him, maybe good works, going to church, you know, staying off, you know, this and that. And, you know, we try to, you know, do good things, but we can never reach God. We can never bridge that gap because we're sinful and we're separated from God. And that's bad news. Now, I would say as you share your faith with someone, you probably don't want to leave them there, but maybe you do. I don't know. Again, you've got to be led by the Lord, but it's good if you can at least get to the next point, which would be this red one. And I try to use that as the blood of Jesus Christ. We get to this third point. Jesus Christ, God's only provision. And this is good news. So at some point, I'll ask them, as I'm maybe sharing, so, and again, you don't have to be systematic, point one, point two, point three, but it helps. Think about your own life. Do you know who God is? Do you know the character of God? Do you know he's holy? Did you know that naturally you are just separated from him and you need a savior? That's a lot of the problem for many of us is we don't even think we're that bad. I'm not as bad as that person. But we're all separated from God, and that's important to get. But this is good news. Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sin. Through him alone, through Christ alone, we can know God. We can get to know God personally and experience his love. So again, we're talking about a relationship here. I always bring in as I share, do you know that you can actually, do you think you can actually know God? The one that created. Do you think it's possible to know him? I mean, we can't see him, but you can actually really know him. I mean, he's made himself known in the Word of God here over and over, but you can actually know him. And not only that, you can actually walk with him. Isn't that amazing? On this earth. One day it's going to get even better, but right now you can actually know God. You can have a relationship with God. So what we want to stress is, how is this only God's provision? One, he died in our place. And again, I'm rushing through this. He died in our place. Write down Romans 5:8. He died in our place. He took our place. We should, the wages of sin is death. We should die for our sins. Now, we will physically die unless the Lord comes back. But again, spiritually we're dead, but he dies in our place. But he doesn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. And I believe Mr. Payton's going to talk about the resurrection in the next session. He rose from the dead. I mean, this is incredible. And again, I may not get all of this in, but I might just point them to Jesus Christ. And then John 14:6, he is the only way to God. And I might think that's probably a good verse to have this young man. He seems pretty open. So I'm going to trust the Lord to have him read again for me. So I take my Bible and say, hey, can you read one more verse? Would you mind? Okay. If he says, no, I don't want to read it, fine. I'll read it to him. But if he's good, 14:6.
Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. So again, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Wow, what a verse. That's who Jesus is saying he is. I mean, the Word of God's full of truth about who God is, who Jesus Christ is. And this is, again, incredible to be able to share with people. Now, let's be honest. When you're sharing, hopefully you have some clarity as you kind of work through these stages. The person you're talking to, kind of most of it's going over their head. But you're praying, and you're trusting God is working. Again, I told you that probably before I came to know the Lord, I probably heard the gospel the first time somewhere around 15 or 16. This guy told me, he lived in our apartment block in South Africa, and he said, hey, and he cut hair. He said, if you come to church on Sunday, I'll give you a free haircut. All right, I went. He was a good barber. He worked from home, and you know, or I don't think he worked anyway. He cut my hair. Me and my friend, we went to church. I think, I'm pretty positive I heard the gospel, and some people came up to us afterwards and told us stuff, but I don't remember anything, really. Kind of went right over. They probably shared this whole thing with me. I'm like, huh? Hey, so when's the haircut? But the Lord's working. I remember one time walking home from school in South Africa, and I crossed over the road, and the light was red, and I was coming, this guy was sitting in his car, and he said, hey, and I looked at him and said, hey, you want this little book? And I said, I don't know. I said, okay, sure. I took it. It was a tract. And he drove off, and I looked at it, and I remember that. I still remember that. And I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, I think I threw it away. But I looked at it, but that was another little step in my life. I couldn't understand. You know, I really was unclear of anything. But, again, the Lord is working. So that was probably, I was 16 or so. I only get saved at 23. But the Lord's working. You want to bring Jesus Christ in. You want to mention Jesus Christ is God's provision. Remember the graphic I showed you previously? If you look at this graphic, man trying to reach God. Here's another helpful picture, I think. God reaches down with Jesus Christ, his son. He sends his son to the cross for our sake to die in our place, to pay the penalty of our sin, that we might know him personally and experience his love and purpose for our life. I mean, people are searching for purpose everywhere. People are searching for love everywhere. And they need to hear that God, though he's eternal and high and lifted up, he's also very personal and intimate. And you can know him and you can walk with him even today. Every time you read the word of God, he's speaking to you. So I've been married, I guess, 25 years, I think, nearly. And sometimes my wife will say things to me and I don't even hear what she said. I know that Mr. Nuremberg and Mr. McWhite never have experienced that ever with their wives. You haven't experienced that, have you? So, you know, we'll look at bad me. I mean, she says something to me and I haven't even heard what she said. So what answer am I going to give her? What answer am I going to give my wife? You know me. No, that's not the answer I'm going to give. Well, what do you think? Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah. That's definitely not a good answer. She might have said something like, how much money did you spend today? And I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, I don't know why I'm why am I telling you this? Oh, that's right. So God, God is speaking to you through his word. And we don't even listen. We don't even hear. We don't even pay attention. And he's wanting you to walk with him. He's wanting you to follow him. He's a good shepherd. And so how does that happen? He sends his son, Jesus Christ. Think about your own life. If you've come to know God in a personal way, Christ died for your sins. And this is all good news. This is really good news. However, points 1 to 3, man, God, Jesus. So these bocce balls here. Then there's a big separation. There is a God who created us and wants to know us, to know, forgive my spelling there, to know him, and he wants us to know him. Okay, first point. To know God. Wow, think about that. I can know God. That was incredible to me when someone explained that to me, and it took a while. I'm a bit of a knucklehead. So you're saying I can actually know the one that created the whole universe. I can know him. Like I can talk to him. That's what prayer is. And he'll talk to me. Yeah, the word of God. I can know him. Yikes. That's pretty heavy. That's what we would think. But man is sinful and separated. So you don't just naturally know him. You might know of him, but you don't know him. Okay? Think about the King of England. And you might know of the King of England, King Charles III or whatever he is now. But you don't know him. I don't think any of you know him. I don't know him. But I know of him. I can read all about him. same thing. This is good knowledge, yet God has bridged the gap through Jesus Christ, and that's God's only provision. You want to make that clear. It's, you know, we don't need to cover the good works, you know, being a good person. You can if the person moves in that direction, but you want to press that. This is the only way to God through Jesus Christ. Does it sound arrogant? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. It's what the Word of God tells us, and it's true. And they may not be ready for that, but when you realize it, when you see it, when you realize you're a sinner and separated, wow, what a wonderful thing. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus Christ for me. It just breaks your heart. And when God begins to break your heart, His love begins to flow in. And when His love begins to flow in, it begins to flow out of you, and you love God because you realize that He's done such an incredible, eternal thing for you. However, it's not just enough to know these truths or even agree with these incredible truths. Oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, yeah. So I might ask Joe here, I might say to him, so does that make sense? Kind of. I mean, what do you think? Yeah, it's interesting. Maybe we can talk later. And you sense that He's really not ready to move forward at all. Or you look at that face, and I remember sharing with someone, and you look at their face, and you can just see God is working in them. Go on. Or you can see, I remember sharing with someone that they weren't really open. They listened to me, and I'm like, hey, can we get together again sometime? Or if you have any other questions, can I give you this book? Yeah, sure. They're just not quite ready. You don't want to force anything. Again, that's important. So we need to know that God is working, drawing the person to Himself. You know. But then we go on. There's a big gap here, and I deliberately did that. So we want to go on to the fourth thing, and that's the response. So again, you sense what God is doing. And you might say, oh, you know, I'm only 14. No problem. God can show you. You don't have to be 21 or 56. I'm only 15. God's a personal God. He can lead you. God does wonderful things. So we come to this response, and you can sum it up this way, I guess, repentance and faith. We'll talk about that. These are words. These are Christian words. So often the person you're talking to doesn't have a Christian background. Now, again, I'm speaking a lot from my time in Europe and stuff like that. Here, people may have an idea of what repentance means or faith, but maybe they have a kind of warped idea of it. Maybe they have a false idea. So you need to take some time here. And you can still go through this point, but maybe not press through to ask them to pray or anything like that. You may say, can I just pray for you? So anyway, we must individually, we want to try to get across that each of us, personally, every one of us has offended God. And we're sinful and we're separated from Him. And we need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then, when that happens, when He comes into our life or into our heart, however you want to quite say it, we can then begin our journey of knowing God personally. And we can begin to experience that love He has for us. And the purposes He has for us on this earth right now. Acts chapter 20, verse 21 is a good verse because Paul speaking here when he's testifying to what he's been doing. He speaks, let's turn there. That's a good verse to read. Let's turn to Acts 20, verse 21. Now, I wouldn't get the person I'm talking to read this. I would probably read it to them. I may not even read it to them. Paul says this, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus, he says. So we'll just leave it at that point there, just the words repentance, faith. What is repent? Now again, this is an abridged, and again, this probably doesn't fit into a systematic theology class, forgive me. But I don't think you're all at seminary. Are you at seminary? Any of you? Okay, we're good. Okay. I mean, you're kind of, you know, average people. you know, like me, kind of a little bit in it, a little bit out of it. No offense to anyone. So repent. What does it mean? Because again, it's not that you have it all right up here. It's that it's here. This is where it matters, in the heart, okay? When I came to know the Lord at 23, I didn't have much clue about anything Christian. I still used to think at that point, I remember when I got saved, I thought, so there's this big battle between good and evil, yin yang, whatever it was, and they were equal enemies. Because I hadn't even read the Bible. I just, my theology was disology. I mean, it was just so confused. But then I began to learn. You don't have to have everything right. Remember, it's a heart. God sees the heart. He looks at the heart, not at the outward. Okay? It doesn't matter about your family background or how much you've messed up before. He's looking at your heart. It's a heart thing. So repent. What does it mean? Basically, you have to face the fact that you're going your own way. You turn around or you turn toward God. You realize, you agree with God. You confess. You don't just say, sorry. You know, it's not just a sorry. It's a turning around. It's an admittance that I'm a sinner and that I'm separated from God and I need someone to save me. It's like you're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and the nearest island is Easter Island, if you can go look all that up if you want, and there's no boats or ships or anything. You're going to die. I mean, you're just going to die. But God comes and saves you from an impossible situation. You cannot save yourself. So repent is, I'm living my life for my sake, basically. I don't want to go in. And I'm apprehended, as it were, and I realize, really? I need to think about this. And I decide, I realize that I've offended God, that I'm a sinner. 1 John 1:9 says, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. What a verse. But on the other side of the coin, if you like, or on the positive side, we then turn around and we put all of our trust in what God has done on my behalf. Personal trust, the gift of God. John 1:12. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, which you can read to the person. I trust God. I put my faith in God. I put my faith in God's gift to me in Jesus Christ. So there's this turning around and this taking hold. Wow. And then what happens? God gives you a new heart. God causes you to become a new creation. I remember the very evening that I bowed down on my knees. Again, I didn't have much experience. I thought that was a holy thing to do. And I prayed. And then I remember thinking, do I have a halo? I didn't know what to, but I knew my heart was kind of warmed. My life changed forever. I haven't been perfect, but my life has changed. I was a new creation. Now, you can share that with them, that they need to turn from their own life, that they turn toward God, they repent, they confess, they admit. But again, is the Lord working? Are they ready? You don't want to force a conversion. Remember, conversion is not your job, it's God's work. And then you're telling them to trust God's gift in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, at this point, you might say to them, if you sense the Lord working, you would say to the person, would you like to pray? And normally they're like, yeah, I don't know. I really want to know God. But, and then like, you do? Like, you're almost surprised that they do. Okay, well, do you really understand? I mean, I realize that, man. I want to know God, and I guess, you know, my sinners, I guess that's what happened. And do you really want to trust? Like, and you're almost like, you do? Okay. And perhaps they are wonderfully ready. And you can pray with them. You can pray and they can follow your prayer. Or you can say, do you want to just pray and ask the Lord into your heart, into your life? There's no magic words, no magic formulas. Again, it's a heart thing. They may say, no, I want to think about it a little bit. Oh, awesome. Can we get together tomorrow and we can talk a bit more? Would you mind? And share your personal testimony. When I came to the Lord, I didn't know what to say, but the Lord is gracious. you know, my kids are older now, but when they were small, they would come to me and you kind of figure out most of the time what they want. The Lord knows. He's looking at that heart. So perhaps you pray with them or you have them pray, and that would be incredible. Now, that may not, you may not get there. You may be, again, at this point, and they're like, okay, I got to go. Okay. But maybe you can come back to it later. Or you may be at this point, I got to go. Okay. But hey, I've told them about the Lord, told them about man's, I'm telling them about the solution. And I haven't even got anywhere near the point where they can respond to the Lord. All right, lastly, practical points. Okay, sorry, it's so small. But anyway, trust and pray as you share the gospel. The Lord is going before you. I told you in the beginning, he's a good shepherd. But trust and pray as you share. Ask him for courage. And even if you share just a little bit, like, wow. The Lord opens the eyes and he does the converting of the sinners. Okay, so we've got no pressure on you. Like, you don't do the converting. Okay, that's helpful. Relax. Mellow out. Trust God to help you. I'm not saying be you know, stupid, but, you know, God can help you. And you may not get through your whole presentation, but he's in control. He knows. Fourthly, use your Bible. Have them read verses. If they're comfortable, have them read. Don't press it. Don't look above them. Don't judge them. Don't overwhelm them. But use the Word of God as much as you can. Again, I would say, you know, don't give them the Bible and tell them, hey, can you read? Here you go. Can you read, you know, Luke chapter 2? They're so embarrassed. I'm like, Luke, what is Luke? So you got to hand it to them. You got to help them out a bit. In personal evangelism, don't preach. Just share. You're not preaching. Just share with them. Draw alongside. Don't look down upon the person that you're sharing with. And I mean physically. Get down. Get next to them if they're comfortable. This is good news. Ask the Lord to give you courage and joy to share with others. You know, you shouldn't be, oh, yeah, anyway, I kind of want to tell you about God. I don't know. You know, you should be full of joy. This is good news, okay? Be in step with the Lord. He's the one working through you. Trust the Lord to go before you. Lastly, this is good news of great joy. You can jot down Luke 2, 8, 9, and 10. The angels would tell the shepherds. This is good news of great joy. Now, there's some bad news, but there's some wonderful, eternal good news, okay, that you and I can share with other people. Now, this doesn't take away fear. This doesn't take away, you know, sensing when to speak, but it can help you at least the how-to of just sharing your faith. God, man, Jesus Christ, and then, Lord, work in their heart. And perhaps you can explain what it means. How would I know God now? How do I know God? And you go through the response section. All right, lastly, application. Talk to Mr. Harris about this. I want to challenge each of you campers to share the gospel. Don't freak out. I'm not going to send you downtown yet. With one of your sports captains, okay? And you need to present the four basic points of the gospel and read at least one of the verses I gave you in each section. So tell them about God. Hey, can I share the gospel with you? And they'll be like, sure. Hey, so I want to tell you about God. He is holy or he is a loving God, John 3:16. Can you read that? And then go through each section of the gospel presentation. If you do it, if you successfully share your gospel presentation, and by successfully, you're not trying to convert your captain, obviously. Hopefully they know the Lord. But if they do get saved, let me know, because I need to know that happened, okay? But if you get through your four stages of it, which is a wonderful opportunity for you, you know, I don't want to put monetary value on this, and this is kind of weird, like, ding, should I do this or not? But anyway, you can earn 50 points for your team, sports team. You can share the gospel as much as you want. So if you blow it the first time, or you practice with someone, or you share with someone and, you know, say we'll choose Max, and you just, I'm sorry, guy. You can try again later, okay? but only one of them will count for the 50 points. So you can't share the gospel with Max, make him sit there for the next 4 hours, and you keep sharing with him over and over. I mean, hopefully one day he'll get converted, but, you know, just joking. And you'll earn 50 points for your team, just to challenge you to do it. Okay, deadline, same as memory verse, 6 o'clock dinner, Friday. You've got a little bit of time to do it, okay? All right. What I want you to do, and I'll close in prayer in a moment, turn to the person next to you, and let's just spend a little bit of time. Even if only one of you pray, that's fine, but just pray. Ask the Lord to give you clarity and courage to share the gospel, and think about someone you can share with, okay? Let's pray.